My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Red Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the rumor is that now that the hurricane is creating a problem weather-wise, the Jags plan on playing the game remotely. So I don't know how that would work out. What have they what have you learned about that idea?
I think the situation is Jacksonville had to push back its departure by just a few hours. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal for them. I talked to a league official, said it was related to them needing more time to effectively load all their stuff onto the plane. Remember, they're going to be over here for a second week. They play a home game at Wembley Stadium the following Sunday. So they're going to, unless something changes further, they're only going to arrive in London a few hours later than what had originally been planned. So I don't think that's going to particularly impact Sunday's game against the Bears.
So how are the Bears practicing today? Where are they? And will it be more than a walkthrough, Brad? Because yesterday we got word that Tevin Jenkins was limited, but it was a walkthrough. But that would be seen to be different today under the conditions. What should we expect?
Well, yesterday limited was an estimation had they had a legitimate practice, which they did not. It was a walkthrough. Today, regular practice. It'll be first down, second down, third down. Generally speaking, Thursdays for third downs, but because they just had a walkthrough yesterday, they're going to fold all three of those into today's work. They're at the resort, which is 80, 90 minutes north of downtown London with the thick traffic. So kind of out in the countryside, it's going to be quiet. They're secluded. Be able to get their work in today and then have a red zone specific practice tomorrow on Friday.
So we understand that Tevin Jenkins could indeed start the game. Will he be able to finish it?
Yeah, I mean, that's generally speaking, my experience doing this a mighty long time, linemen are some of the last guys to leave the field with an injury. But Jenkins seems to have a lot of different body parts that have ailed him over the past several seasons. And so, I mean, your guess would be as good as mine. He wasn't 100% last week with the bruised rib. He left the game with the ankle injury. I saw him post-game, no walking boot, looked like he was moving okay. So I don't know. We'll see how they designate him on the injury report for today's action a little bit later on. But the hope is, that he'll be able to go at left guard. If not, you would think that Bill Murray maybe gets a further opportunity. But we'll probably have a better sense later today, hopefully tomorrow.
So as we heard yesterday from DJ Moore, we are now evolving from the comfy QB to the bossy QB. And Caleb Williams is receiving a lot of conversation or praise for his leadership style, Brad. I think it's better than reading body language, and it's better than talking about communication issues. It's talking about the way that he is evolving as a leader and the way that that is translating into success with the offense. Just the evolution of a leader and a guy who is a captain, right?
Yeah, I think it's different different guys respond to different forms of communication. So I think it would, as a young guy coming in, as a rookie, with some veteran guys and established players in the league, you got to get a feeling and an understanding kind of for what they respond to. And you needed game reps to how are we going to react to this? You know, when are we seeing things the same way, right? And the first time you do it, the quarterback might see one thing and the receiver might see something that's just a little bit different. And if they're not on the same page, that can lead to an incompletion or worse. So it's been time on task, and you didn't think it was going to be perfect when they started the season. It's certainly not going to be perfect this Sunday against Jacksonville, but you're seeing growth. I think you're seeing improvement. You're seeing a guy with confidence. You're seeing a guy that's starting to look more comfortable in the pocket, which I think is a huge deal, right? You know, that's the thing that trips up so many young quarterbacks, right? They cannot process and perform from the pocket. And Caleb looks like he's kind of intentionally hanging in there at times, when maybe previously at USC or Oklahoma, he's pulling the ripcord and he's trying to make a second reaction play, but understanding that he needs to hang in there. So you're seeing the development and growth, and I think it's a positive for everyone. I think they feel the kind of the positive energy within the group, and they've been better. Now, the defenses they've been playing haven't been, but you got to line up against who they schedule for you that week. And this Jacksonville pass defense, guys, is awful, awful. The Jags are giving up like 288 passing yards a game. It's dead last in the NFL. I think opposing quarterbacks have a passer rating of about 111 against Jacksonville so far. So the Bears should be able to move the ball through the air on Sunday.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Brad, I'm curious, the activation of Jacob Martin from the IR would seemingly indicate that he will be ready to perhaps play when they get back on the field after the bye week. He's got this week to practice, and then they won't be doing much, I imagine, in the bye week. But then you'll have another full week before they play Washington. Is he on schedule to return at that point? And when you see both Larry Borum and Ryan Bates not activated, does that mean they won't be back playing, or could they return for that game as well?
Yeah, with Martin, I would think you're kind of looking at that Washington game, and I, you know, I don't know what you're doing roster wise. Is he a guy that does he take Dominique Robinson's spot? You're gonna have to see him practice. Yeah. You're gonna have to see how his body responds. He's been out an awful long time, guys. He suffered that toe injury on the first day of padded practices back in July, so that's gonna take a little while. And with Bates, I think I said it yesterday, you know, he's missed so much time since really about mid-August that I don't think it's a 1 week in practice and he's ready to line up and play football in a game. I think that'll be a multi-week thing for Ryan Bates as well. And quite possibly Larry Borum, who suffered a high ankle sprain in that preseason game at Kansas City. But they're going to have help on the way. It's probably just going to be a couple more weeks.
What did we hear from Shane Waldron if he spoke today, Brad, or what was his state of mind heading into this week against the Jaguar defense, as you said, which is very susceptible to the pass?
Yeah, I think they're feeling confidence, you know, that what they've been trying to do has been working. Obviously, the you know, playing with tempo has been effective for Caleb Williams, and I think we might have discussed it earlier in the week. Like you've got to hit on first and second down to stay in tempo, right? It doesn't work unless you're having some positive plays. But they had a whole bunch of success with it this past week, so I'm curious to see if that's something you know it's going to remain part of the game plan, you would think, most weeks. It's a question of maybe how much.
So you mentioned that it's an hour and a half or an hour outside of London, whatever, depending on traffic. Do they stay there until Saturday? Do they spend Saturday night closer to Spurs Stadium?
I think they're staying up here the whole time.
Oh, they're staying there the whole time, and then they'll drive the hour before the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll leave. You know, they're always going to leave early.
Yeah.
It'll be a, what, London time? I think that's a 2:30 kickoff.
Right.
On Sunday. And then in the past, guys, the Bears have stayed over the night after the Sunday game and flown back on Monday. They're going to be wheels up right after the game. So they'll be getting out of London Sunday. It'd be evening time in London on Sunday.
So, and then, I'm sorry, Dustin wanted to know, how does it work when you're the home team? Do you get revenue from the game? How do they?
Oh, I don't. Yeah.
How do they distribute?
I would assume they're getting something to make up for lost gate revenue. But guys, none of the owners in the NFL are going poor, right?
No, good point, Brad. When you look at Jaquan Brisker not being there, Elijah Hicks gets his 9th NFL start. He is a guy they like. They drafted in the 7th round. Ryan Poles' first draft class. What can we expect from him? I said earlier, in an ideal situation, maybe you won't hear from him, and that will tell you he's probably doing a pretty good job. How is the defense different with Elijah Hicks replacing Brisker?
Well, you've got less experience out there, right? But Hicks is a guy with pretty good range, like might have a little more range than Brisker. And I think for it to show up, though, right, for that range to show up, Hicks is going to have to deliver on what the coaches have said about him here this week, and that's that, you know, things have started to slow down for him, that he understands and is able to read and kind of diagnose his keys more quickly and more accurately than perhaps he was able to earlier in his career when he was getting some of that playing time. So that's something to keep an eye on, and I think you make a great point. If you're not hearing his name in the broadcast, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. I'm curious, Brad, when we look at the defense, generally speaking, how do you feel the matchups work against this team? In other words, when we look at them at 1-4, not a lot has gone right for them, whereas the Bears probably had a tough matchup last week for Montez Sweat, but they got help in other places. Do you expect Sweat to have a much better matchup this time around? Who do you expect to be starring on that defense in this game?
Yeah, you would hope so, because Jacksonville has had a really tough time this season until they did what? They got a little more time in the pocket for Trevor Lawrence last week. And when he had a little more time and he could have a little more comfort in the pocket, I think you saw what you know he's capable of. Certainly you saw the rookie wide receiver, Brian Thomas, the first-round pick from LSU, break out a little bit. I think Thomas has got 3 touchdown catches through 5 games, guys. Had a huge long play that has jacked his average up to like 18 yards a reception. But it's going to be about winning that battle up front. You take care of that. You get Trevor Lawrence a little uncomfortable in the pocket, and he's the kind of guy that'll give you a couple. He'll give you a couple plays to make in the ball game. And if the Bears can do that, I think they'll be very well positioned.
So, Brad, obviously with Robert Saleh getting fired, there's been a lot of conversation about other coaches on the hot seat. It's always the who will be next type of thing. When you look at Matt Eberflus, would you describe him as a coach on the hot seat this year, or when people would ask you that question? I'm just asking the question.
I mean, the next coach the Bears fire in season, as you know, will be the first.
Okay.
So Flusie won't make it?
I don't think he'll make that list for in-season hot coaches. If I do this long enough, I'll probably see a Bears head coach be fired in season eventually, but I think there would be some other coaches in line for that before him.
When we look at this game in particular, we think about the Bears' running game and the way that they have kind of adapted it. Now, they're using DeAndre Swift differently than they did earlier in the year, and they've got this kind of jumbo package, which is part of their identity. Do you expect them to kind of attempt to be as balanced as they were last week? Is that what you heard from the offensive coordinator?
Yeah. I mean, you don't want Caleb Williams dropping back and having to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game like they did earlier in the season. So you get that balanced attack. You mix in Roshan Johnson there a little bit. And I talked to Chad Morton, the running backs coach, this morning a little bit about, you know, is there a spot to get Roshan a little bit of work in the base offense because he's got that pass catching ability that they like. And, you know, he kind of chuckled because, hey, he'd like to get Khalil Herbert some touches too, and they'd like to do this. But guess what? They're not going to have 85 or 90 snaps in the ball game. And sometimes when you're getting in tempo, you got one guy in there, and hey, maybe you'd like to swap a guy out here, but you're in tempo, so you're not going to be subbing. So it's kind of that balance. But we've certainly seen Swift's abilities showcased pretty well the last couple weeks. You're seeing what the Bears thought he would be able to provide to that offense, and if they can continue to get that from him, that's going to be a big bonus, and it's going to allow them to stay balanced so you're not asking the quarterback to drop back too much, put him in harm's way. I mean, the perfect number of pass attempts is what, 25-ish, 30 a game? If you stay in that range, you're probably controlling the ball and being effective, getting first downs, and hopefully scoring.
Did you get to that Bears pub you were promoting in your 10 thoughts?
No, I went by it the other day. Those were like some super passionate European Bears fans that I met there back in, I think it was 2011, when they were over here the first time. Coming from like all sorts of different countries. That was a fun group, and they're getting together again Saturday night.
That sounds like fun.
Are you going to a football match, a soccer match on Saturday morning?
There's a group going to see like Greece play England tonight at Wembley, maybe. But they said Harry Kane wasn't going to play, so I said, well, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm sure like that was it. The reason why, Brad.
That's it. That's
I'm sure that
reason.
Was it, yeah.
Great stuff, Biggs.
Thanks, Biggs.
Thank
have
you,
fun.
Buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Harry Kane, obviously, great English goal scorer. Did
yes.
you know that his old man's from Ireland?
Did not know that.
He grew up in an Irish family.
Why isn't he on Team Ireland? Come on now.
You
See?
Said it.
All
you
right.
said it. You brought the guy's name up, and then you started bad-mouthing him because he's denying his Irish.
That would be you projecting.
I know. One of us said it. I know that. It's Fully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The World Tour, here we go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So the Bears are in London,
yes.
or outside London, as we know. And the coordinators met with the media this morning. And we finally have some audio of Shane Waldron.
Was that the Shane Waldron World Tour that was beginning?
I think that was
okay.
That was what he had to
Ready
say.
Ready or not.
So we have not heard this. So we're going to listen to it with you. if this is as bad as it might be, we're going to bail out of it, but it might be okay.
It's the answers only, the questions you couldn't hear in the audio.
Questions.
But this is Shane Waldron answering questions
that you
today
can't hear.
That you can't hear, but you can surmise. And this is Shane Waldron in London before practice.
Going no huddle with the rookie quarterback. I think whether it's a rookie or not, just different past experiences. I think being able to mix and match different tempos on offense is always a good thing. Whether you can go, different tempos in and out of the huddle, different tempos at the line of scrimmage. So as we continue to grow on offense, being able to use different tools depending on what week we feel like it creates an advantage and what week it can help us. So obviously last week with Caleb and the rest of the offense, they did a really good job executing in the no huddle situations that presented themselves. Yeah, I think anytime you have success with one thing, we'll keep working on it. But again, really depends what the situation in the game is, what advantage we think we can create from that. So week to week, we'll always look at it. It'll always be something that we'll have as part of our system, and then how we utilize it will depend, like I said, upon the individual game. I think Caleb's done a great job with his communication, started in the offseason when he was able to build some connections with guys. And I think part of the quarterback's job is to be that leader on the field and make sure everybody is on the same page. So you've seen him continue to grow. If a route's sometimes it's a two-way street asking what a receiver saw or what he saw. And it's all about getting on the same page at the end of the day. So I think he's done an excellent job with that. All the different looks that might present themselves, he's been able to communicate that with DJ, with Keenan, Cole, all of our guys right there. So that we're all on the same page. Yeah, I think starting up front, those guys have done a great job of sticking together. I know it started out where we were trying to, gain some more yards, obviously, in the run game in those first couple games there. But I saw a group that really stuck together right there, worked on communication, worked on the details that they felt could help them improve as they were hitting blocks and getting in phase with the runners. And like everything, the run game is going to take all 11 receivers, tight ends, quarterback, getting us in and out of things. So I think those guys just sticking with it, trusting their process. Chris Morgan and Haas have done a good job of leading the way right there. So every single week, whether it's been a win or a loss, we're coming in on Monday and looking at ways to improve. And I think those guys have stuck with that process. And so the results will come when the process is right.
Okay, we're hesitating for a second.
Just 1 second.
Number one,
okay.
High energy. Let me tell you something.
Good energy.
This guy's a lot better when you don't know what he's being asked.
Right. That's one thing. The other thing, remarkably consistent cadence in this answering the questions with the same tone.
Yeah.
In the same
I like this
pattern.
If the damn media wasn't slowing this down with their questions.
Okay, let's resume.
I could listen to this all day.
Shane Waldron, part two.
I think every week we're always going to be looking for that balanced attack. So, starting with the run game when we're efficient with runs, and then that efficiency can lead to explosives, right? We saw it this past week with Swift on the left side, or in the week before when we were able to run one in from, 30-something out. So sticking with the run game, staying efficient, it's always going to allow our full offense to come to life. Yeah, I think from the starting point here, we wanted to have a good marriage of the run and the pass with that ability to attack defenses with the mix and match of tempos. I think each week you've seen us continue to grow, to try to get to that vision of what we all see it as. And I think it's going to be a week-to-week process where we can't take any steps back, or if stuff does get hard, just keeping our eyes forward and looking at solution-driven conversations right there so we can keep rolling and keep playing at a high level on offense. Yeah, no, I think he's done an excellent job knowing that, hey, the ball hasn't found him on a couple plays. Even last week where there's a couple where he's the primary, the coverage plays out a little bit different. And, Cole's a beneficiary of a big explosive play on one of them. But obviously we want to get Keenan involved more. It's a goal of ours, but there's also going to be the structure of the defense and, what they might take away that week. And I think, each week the guys have done a good job knowing that we have multiple guys that have worked hard and deserve to get the rock right there. And we know Rome had a big game one time. Cole has a big game. DJ has one. Swift's had a couple. So knowing that, Keenan's a big part of our offense and wanting to get him involved. And again, it's that fine line of pressing to get him involved, but also knowing that he's going to do a good job like he always does of doing things right, showing up every single day and working to get on the same page, which he's done a great job with, and then leading to the results on the field.
Okay, that was a little longer answer there. Did you notice one thing that keeps coming up? He keeps saying at the beginning of the answers, and when you hear him in rapid fire succession, this stands out more. Yeah, no. Yeah, no. When somebody asks a question, he says, yeah, no. He says that at the beginning of every answer.
I got to tell you, I like this version. We have a texter saying they've gone up tempo, and so has Walter.
So has he.
He is definitely going up tempo.
This is like the no huddle version of Shane Waldron.
This is what we're doing. We've taken out the slow down question. What are you doing? What's Cole Kmet? No. It's here we go.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Cole Kmet needs to get more involved. Yeah, I know Keenan Allen needs to get more involved. I like this version of Shane Waldron. Let's continue. Too. We have no more?
No.
Okay, we have no more.
I mean, we'd have to go for 7 minutes.
Oh, that's right. All right.
That's as much as we're going to do.
I think
we're going to go through the tape and find some other answers if they're good, but that's all we're doing.
All right, let's go to the substance rather than the style.
Yes, balance, efficiency.
Balance, efficiency, trying to get maybe Keenan Allen more involved. I think this is a good game for him to do that. You need to get him going. Let's face it. Everybody's worried, and we've been focused appropriately on DJ Moore getting down the field and being part of the vertical passing game. That happened.
More of that.
More of that, but I think you want to get Keenan Allen more involved than he has been.
And that's fine, but I want the touchdowns.
From?
DJ Moore.
All right. I want the first downs from Keenan Allen.
And I'm with you.
I need some more first downs from Keenan Allen.
But I want more 35-yard touchdown passes.
I want more involvement from Keenan Allen because, let's face it, he is in a contract year. He's making a ton of money, more than any other player in that receiving core or in that offense. Is he the highest paid Bears player? He might be.
Does everyone in London talk that fast?
No.
Do people in London not take questions? I think, honestly, from now on, submit your questions. It's like Biggsy's mailbag. You hand them in to Shane Waldron, and then he just
that's kind
zips
of what
through them.
Kills the pace in the press conferences at Shane Waldron sessions. The questions are the downer. He answers everything at the same repetitive kind of pace and tempo. It is up tempo. And I thought he sounded a little bit more assured. Did he seem a little more assertive there?
Yeah.
Or is it just me?
No, it was good. It was better than usual. He honestly, I mean, here's the thing. I think sometimes when I hear him, and I will be listening to a specific question and trying to hear what he's answering. There are times when he kind of just talks to points, not necessarily answers points. So not hearing the questions is helping me appreciate his ability to talk about his offense.
Well, he's not somebody who can't handle that role. It's just a matter of he has come off as a little bit tightly wound.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been over-caffeinated at times.
This is good, though. It's 8:37 in the morning. Don't you need a little of this on your way in?
Well, it's not 8:37 there.
No, but I'm saying for those of us listening to it
right
now.
Rapid fire, Shane.
Yeah, let's go.
The world tour is coming at you fast.
I'm all for it.
Life comes at you fast with Waldron.
Yeah.
I don't know what else he said that was anything applicable to the game plan.
We haven't gone through all the tape yet.
The no huddle.
There were 7 minutes, mm-hmm. and we played you three.
We played roughly three.
So there's still another.
We played enough to get the gist.
Yes.
I don't know that.
It's like another three and a half minutes.
But it's so hypnotic that I think that the answers would start to put us to sleep.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. It's like.
People be going off the road.
The rhythm. You know, it's the same pace, same tempo. It's kind of very trance-like.
I'm liking it.
Even in the presser, Waldron even said, I can't understand. You can't hear the questions at all. And he said, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I can't hear you at all.
It's that bad of audio?
Or that crowd over the room? You just don't hear the audio from the reporters at all.
Yeah.
It's still Charlie Brown.
Who needs the darn Bears beat anyway? You know, they're having fun. They're out there. They're on the English countryside.
Yeah.
Well, some of the reporters are actually at schools around the Roma Dunze is meeting with young children.
Yeah. Colleen Kane tweeted something out.
He was asked, if you weren't the Chicago Bears, what would your nickname be? And he said he was stumped, and one of the children suggested the Chicago Chicken Nuggets.
Well, I mean,
at least it wasn't fish and chips, I guess.
Didn't the first McDonald's, wasn't it here in Chicago? Yes. And doesn't McDonald's live here? So
you think Chicken Nuggets is
Grimace
good?
Is here?
I'm just saying, yes, Grimace is ours.
What about the Big Macs?
Did you see they now have a chicken Big Mac?
That's coming. A chicken Big Mac.
Oh, my.
Two fried chicken patties.
Can you explain that? Is that does
I'm
that
loving
mean
that.
Big Mac sauce and all that stuff?
Yeah, everything. The beef, minus the beef, add two fried chicken patties.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
Two fried chicken patties.
Seed bun.
Yeah. I'm not sure, man.
I don't do a Big Mac. The special sauce is not touching my lips.
The special sauce on chicken might not work.
Yes, it would. You put anything on chicken, it works.
Most special sauces
chicken works.
Don't come near me.
Oh, special sauces on chicken, no, whatever. Yes. I can't wait for the chicken Big Mac.
That was surprisingly creepy, Dustin. I have no idea what you're really saying, but okay.
I don't use special sauces on food items.
At all?
Like you would you wouldn't have like if you had
barbecue
fish,
sauce.
You wouldn't have like
it's very
a
dry
tartar sauce? No.
It's a very
tartar
dry way to go sauce. Through life.
Cocktail sauce. I actually like cocktail sauce with fried shrimp or fried fish.
Okay.
With some vinegar as well.
Mm, I don't know about the vinegar.
Well, vinegar.
Love the vinegar.
Put the vinegar on the chips. Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know.
On the fries?
No sauce, no ranch?
No curry sauce.
Ranch goes with everything.
No thanks.
Everything. Vegetables, fried chicken, everything.
I don't think ranch would go with beef.
Yeah,
like if you replaced whatever the special sauce with ranch.
If I had ranch dressing and I had a steak, I'd be fine with that. I could dip my steak in ranch.
Dustin just dropped.
I know. I'm just saying. I love ranch dressing.
That's like a guy
put everything on
ketchup
it.
On a steak. You just can't.
I would do ranch dressing before ketchup.
I mean, some people do like the horseradish sauce on a prime rib. I don't, but others that I do enjoy
little spice,
their company,
little tangy spice.
Right. I will do horseradish on a prime rib, but no white sauce accompanying the horseradish.
Hmm. You've got very particular.
He's got very strange rolls.
That's a very particular palate.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't imagine a Big Mac only with chicken. It might be great, and maybe I'll try it someday, but I doubt it. It just doesn't appeal to me.
I'm probably going to have it for lunch if I can.
Really?
Where can we get it?
Is it out yet?
I don't know.
All right.
Find it if I can.
I love a chicken sandwich. You know, there is like a McDonald's over in the West Loop that has like the stuff from around the world. Like you could get like whatever kind of
The international
McDonald's.
One. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Have you ever tried any of that stuff?
No. Okay. But I know where you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's on Randolph, I think.
I believe it is.
Right around there.
Okay. Just so people end up going there and then you can see Grimace and you can tell them to quit supporting the Mets.
Go Mets.
Damn it. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I want winners.
On the line is the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcast. Nick joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Hey, Nick.
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Well, the Bears are in London, and Jacksonville apparently is just heading there now.
Well, they're going to be there for 2 weeks. They're the London Jaguars, so they'll play this week, and then they play next week also. Do I make my mea culpa now, or is it like after the Bears win this game against Jacksonville, where I have to say I was way wrong on the Bears this season? I'm close to having to do that. So I acknowledge right now, 5 weeks into the season, the defense looks good. I never thought Caleb was bad, but Caleb's obviously good. DeAndre Swift's getting going. I think Adunze is going to get going at some point soon here. With that being said, this week I'll take the Jaguars plus the 2 points. And maybe I'm just going to go broke as a result of this, and Bears fans should root for me to keep betting against their team because I'm the idiot here and I keep losing money betting against them. But I look at this matchup, right, and I think the Bears are going to have trouble with teams that have good defensive lines that can stop the run and have good pass rush, right? And Carolina obviously couldn't do that last week. It'll be a different story this week with Josh Hines Allen and the Jaguars pass rush. And Trevor Lawrence found something last week, his best game of the season. It's not one of my favorite bets of the week, but I'll take the Jaguars plus the 2 points against the Bears. And look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong again, and I'll keep losing money on this, and Bears fans, you can revel in my misery.
You'll have to stop calling him ever lose.
Well, Eberwin, I guess, would have to be. I still think he stinks.
All right.
And Shane Waldron stinks also.
You're entitled to that. How about tonight? What are you expecting tonight in terms of the Thursday night football action?
So Niners are a 3.5-point favorite at Seattle. The total in the game is 49.5. Seattle is dealing with a host of injuries along its defense with critical players set to miss this game. We have seen the total guys get bet up almost now to 50 at 49.5. I actually want to go the other way here, and I want to play the under, and I'm going to tell you why. And we saw this last week with San Francisco against Arizona. We've seen it all. The Niners are under 500 right now. They can't score touchdowns in the red zone. They are 30th in the NFL right now in red zone percentage. Like, they're great in between the 20s, and then the offense stagnates once they get, like, into the green area. So we have that going for us. And then we have Seattle's offensive line is not good. I'm a Giants fan. Watched the game last week. Like, Geno Smith was bulldozed by the Giants pass rush. Now here's Nick Bosa. So a bit of a contrarian play by me, guys. I'll actually play the under in tonight's game with the Seahawks and the Niners.
What about a prop, oh, king of props?
Oh, so this is a good. I think we got a good one tonight. So DK Metcalf for Seattle. His receiving yards prop tonight is 63.5. I think that Seattle is not going to have a lot of success running the football in this game with Kenneth Walker. San Francisco's top cornerback, and like him and Metcalf always like go one-on-one with each other in these games. Charvarius Ward is listed as questionable. We don't know if he's going to play. If he does, he's not 100%. I love this DK Metcalf tonight. DK over 63.5 receiving yards.
All right, Nick, can anybody beat the Mets?
I don't think so, actually. And you know, I think I said this with you guys last week. I've been betting them since they beat the Braves in the first of the doubleheader last Monday with the Francisco Lindor homer. So I had them in the series against the Phillies. So how about this? I'm going to take like 30 seconds here, and I'm going to lay out exactly what, like, if you want to bet the baseball playoffs, here's what you want to happen. And I'm a Yankee fan about to say this. So I think the Yankees are the most likely team to win the American League, mostly because the AL stinks. Like, I'm a Yankees fan. I don't think the Yankees will win the World Series. So Dodgers and Padres game 5 coming up tomorrow in Los Angeles. Here's what we want to happen, like, to make great bets. We want the Dodgers to beat the Padres tomorrow night. And then we bet the Mets to beat the Dodgers. That is not that the bet will win. It is as easy a bet to make as there can ever be. The Dodgers starting pitching is terrible. Like, Mets over Dodgers, easy bet. And then honestly, like, whichever team in the NL wins that series, you bet against the Yankees in the World Series. Like, the Yankees cannot win the World Series, not with that manager. The starting pitching's terrible. We can't trust Garrett Cole, the number one starter. So Yankees win the. I'm giving you the answers to the test. These are the answers to the test. Yankees make the World Series. I'm a Yankee fan. They make the World Series. You bet against them. And again, you root for the Dodgers tomorrow night, even if you hate them in Chicago. You root for the Dodgers, and then you bet the Mets in the NLCS, and then the Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series, and I want to kill myself as a result.
Wow.
That is great stuff, Nick. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats. Winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Go Yankees.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Even if that happens, we still have an all-New York World Series.
I thought it was an innocent question about the Mets.
Oh, boy, you asked the wrong question. You asked the wrong guy the wrong question. We got Brian Baldinger. We'll talk to Baldy next. Molly and Hall on the score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.